I want to welcome everyone to our Keeping on Track open line, Courage in the Face of Danger. In this time of uncertainty and lack of confidence, it's time for us to reclaim our courage. My name is Dana Barocca. I'm the CEO of Lighthouse Consulting Services, and we'll be hosting our program today. For those of you joining us for the first time, Lighthouse provides in-depth work style and personality assessments for both new hire candidates and for staff development. We also offer a number of workshop topics to associations and trade organizations, and if you'd like more information, please email me as indicated on your screen. Our Keeping on Track open line series is in response to a number of calls we've been getting from many of our clients both domestically and globally to address the various business issues that most organizations are facing today. We've asked each of you to share your thoughts as to what courage means to you, which we'll be sharing during the program today. We have another full capacity audience, and our goal is to make this an interactive program. So on your screen, you'll see an area you can send questions or ideas during our discussion, and we'll attempt to respond to as many of you as possible. So please join us with your thoughts and insights you have along the way. And at the conclusion of our program, we'll open up the line so you can talk directly to our guests. You'll also want to have some paper and a pen handy to take notes, since we'll be sharing many ideas that you can consider and implement with your team and trusted advisors. Our special guest with us today is Paul David Walker, who is a longtime friend and business colleague. Many of you know Paul from his best-selling book, Unleashing Genius, and if you haven't read it, it's a must-read, and the information for getting a copy is on your screen. Paul is one of the few CEO coaches who has worked with numerous Fortune 500 CEOs and their key staff members for well over 25 years, along with many mid-cap. Some of the organizations that Paul has worked with include Starkist Foods, New York Life, Anne Klein, Rockwell International, countless manufacturing, global utility service, and consulting organizations, along with many nonprofits. Paul is the founder of the Unleashing Genius Institute project, which you'll be hearing about in the news in the near future. I feel privileged to have Paul with us today and to share ideas that will help each of us in preparing for the future and for dealing with today's business issues. Also, registration for our next program will begin at the end of today's program, and the topic is Selling in Today's Environment, Getting the Inside Track. And you'll want to have your sales and marketing department and team on that program, because it's going to be very interesting and a lot of proactive ideas that they could start to utilize immediately. Without further ado, Paul, I want to welcome you.
Thank you so much, Dana. It was a great welcome, and I look forward to this topic. I think it's a topic that we all can use some reflection on. So let's start. Let's start with the first slide. I put some quotes on the slide, and after I read these quotes, I know some of the participants have sent in some definitions of courage, and then I'm going to talk about my experience of courage and the experience of others. So the first slide, which, of course, is one of my favorites, is by Margaret Mead. Never doubt that a small group of committed people can change the world. It is the only thing that ever has. And when the courage of a group of people is combined and the genius of a group of people is combined, you know, amazing things happen. And this has been seen in companies and in countries and in many other ways. Now, Douglas MacArthur said it is fatal to enter any war without the will to win it. That will, that intention, and that desire to do something that's really important provides great courage. Ernest Hemingway said, courage is grace under pressure. And courage is not running away. Courage is not fight or flight. When a person is courageous, there is a calm that comes over them. There's a power that comes over them. And Dana, you said that some other people had provided some definitions of courage?
Yes. Also, we were having a number of people just join us also, so we like to keep the Open Line program very engaging. So if anyone has thoughts or comments, on your screen you'll see an area that you can share ideas or ask questions, and we'll try to respond to as many as possible because we have a large audience. And also, what's interesting, Paul, is we have people from Europe that will be getting this program in the next day or so also. So we also have an international audience today. We asked a number of you to participate and to share your definition of courage. So let me share a couple of those.
Okay.
Ability to do the right thing when it's easier not to. By the way, we have so many quotes and ideas that came in that I can only select a couple of them because we want to make sure we stay within our time frame today. Another one is heart and mind working together to do what must be done. Another one is being able to effectively function in the face of crisis or danger. And here's one that encapsulates a number of individuals that sent ideas in. Courage is to fan away the fear and find the inner strength or the rod to lean upon, then to share it.
Mm.
Isn't that powerful?
Beautiful.
All these things are so powerful. So thank you for sharing those and look forward to everyone participating today. Now, Paul, I'll go to the next slide.
All right. We'll do it. You know, I always like to find times, real times in people's lives when they are most courageous. And as you listen to this, you know, we've heard some definitions. But, you know, what have you done? You know, the quote at the bottom by John Quincy Adams, courage and perseverance have a magical talisman before which difficulties and obstacles vanish into air. John Quincy Adams, he certainly faced a lot of danger. But look at your life. I mean, if you were protecting your child, or if a mother were protecting her child, courage would naturally rise. If you were defending your country or your home, courage rises in you. Standing up for a deeply held belief, something you believe is true. When I had a breakfast with a great leader, the leader said that courage comes from being connected to your deepest aspirations or the deepest aspirations of the people who follow you. Deepak Chopra made that quote. It comes from the deepest, being connected to your deepest aspirations. And I think that much of what people said falls into that category.
Hmm.
There's some magic involved that takes fear away as you connect to your very deepest aspirations. So courage is not response to fear.
Paul, somebody just wrote an interesting comment in on the last slide. They said, just being in business today takes courage.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right. And we're going to get to that. But, yes, it takes a lot of courage. I mean, I just was talking to one of my clients, and the bank pulled their credit line. What are they going to do?
Oh, my gosh.
Now they have reserves. Are they going to spend them? And on what are they going to spend them? You know. But courage is not fight or flight. Like my client could go, oh, it's a disaster. Let's shut down plants. Let's fire people. And they might just fire the very people that bring the business in. No. That's what you would do in fight or flight. Fear, every quote on courage talks about how fear disappears. But fear narrows your perception. So if you're fearful, your perception, your ability to see things and react to those things or respond to those things is going to disappear. Fear disengages us from reason, right? Courage transcends fear. Quote by Rosa Parks, I've learned over the years that when one's mind is made up, this dismisses fear. Knowing what must be done, it does away with fear. Knowing what must be done does away with fear, Rosa Parks, as she sat in the back of the bus. But no, I will not sit in the back of the bus.
There's a fine line there, I would think, between when fear starts to take over, one could think they're being courageous in their response to a situation.
Yeah, well,
it's fear.
I think the fine line is, if you're in fear, there's an anger, there's an agitation, there's a reaction, a fight or flight response. With courage, there's a calmness because you're connected to the deep aspirations that you have or your people have, and you know it's right. So
okay.
There's a calmness there.
Yeah. Okay.
As opposed to an agitation.
Okay.
You know, the next slide talks about courage is deeply connected to aspirations. Again, some examples, you know, live free or die, revolutionary forefathers. And that was very courageous to say that, to stand up against the British Empire. We will never surrender, Winston Churchill, of course, fighting the Nazis. Roosevelt, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. And then another quote from Winston Churchill, that courage is rightly esteemed the first of human qualities because it is the quality which guarantees all others. Life is tough. And if you don't have the courage to persist and to do the right thing, you're going to find yourself running and fighting and not getting anything done. And certainly in a recession, when our businesses and our families face danger, courage is going to be needed. And that is connecting to your deepest aspirations. Remember that as we go through these slides. You know, if you're a leader of people, great leader, you're in the process of manifesting people's aspirations. Some examples, you know, Gandhi fought for freedom for India. Our forefathers believed in self-government. Henry Ford wanted a car for every American. Mahatma Gandhi said, "A no uttered from the deepest conviction is better and greater than a yes merely uttered to please, or what is worse, to avoid trouble." Now, you have to ask yourself as a leader of your company or your team or your family, are you a living manifestation of your teams, your families, or your own greatest aspirations? Because if you're not, your courage is going to falter. And if you say, well, you know, the aspirations of my company are just self-absorbed people who want to get paid more for doing less, then you have to ask yourself, are you really leading? Are you reaching into them to pull out their greatest aspirations? And are you communicating how your company or your team or your family can support and be a vehicle to manifest those great aspirations? That's a question you have to ask yourself.
Somebody wrote a question in. So let's say business is slow. Let's take Henry Ford. Let's say if he had been during the Depression,
yep,
and had been producing cars, got everybody on board with these wonderful ideas that were going to provide America with transportation and get everybody to their families or to work in an efficient, safe way. Yet, and
inexpensive
that,
too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but things are slow.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that? How to keep morale up? Or
yeah, you know, I was just reading an article in Business Week that's similar to what Henry Ford did. A lot of companies now see the recession as a huge opportunity, because what happens in a recession or a depression or whatever you want to call it is people start to get fearful and their perception shrinks, their energy shrinks, they miss opportunities. Those who have courage and are committed to to their mission, to what they're doing, begin to expand their perception, begin to see how to manifest their aspirations. And frankly, in a recession, there's less competition because most people are lost in fear. Most people are hiding, finding ways to, let's just survive this. Well, when you have most people just in survival, it's an opportunity for you, you know, to, in your business, to find market share, to find areas that other people are ignoring, to build your foundation. I know Colgate-Palmolive right now has increased their research budget dramatically, even though consumer demand is down. Many companies are consciously acquiring new markets and new companies. Most of the millionaires of the 20th century started during the Depression. You have to know what aspirations, what missions for your company and your team connect at the deepest level, and then get the whole team focused on.
So managers could go to their team members now and have a whole discussion on this.
Absolutely.
To take it.
Yeah, and you really have to assess, you know, what your deepest aspirations are for the company and the business and for yourselves. Because you're all a community trying to make a living. So one of the aspirations is, you know, to provide a place where, you know, we all can feed our families and educate our children and work together in a deep and warm way, right? It's not just a job, it's a community. You spend 8, 9, 10, 14 hours a day. But then, you, as in slide 6 there, you've got to know what aspirations, what missions, what are the deepest values that the company brings, that the product brings, that to the marketplace and to others. You know? And as a leader, you have to get your people connected with them. They might not know. Your people might not know what they are. And as a leader, or as a team of leaders, you have to find out, you know, what makes this proposition, this value proposition of our company, of our team, of our family, or of yourself. How can you state this in a way that connects with people's deeper aspirations? And one hint that is obvious is that, you know, this provides a living for all of us. And it provides great service for our customers. And you should talk to your customers and figure out what's really important for them.
Somebody just wrote in, and also being grateful for not only having the position, but having the opportunity then to explore how the value that everybody brings within an organization, to the customers, to the clients, within the organization.
Yeah.
Or is it just a function?
No, it's the value. It's more than a function. It's a value. Something of value that your company provides for people. What is that? And don't just say, oh, you know, we provide a bus service, right? It's really convenient. But you need to really understand the value, let's say, of a bus, of public transportation. How does that serve the public? Why is that so valuable? Why is it a good thing to take the bus instead of jump in your car? You know, there's a lot of things in every product that go a lot deeper than just selling a product. And that's what you have to connect with. That's what you have to get your customers to connect with. And both of you will then have the courage take a few risks to go forward, to expand while everyone else is contracting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Okay, so the next slide is what are the deepest aspirations of the people you lead? We talked already about this a little, you know, but do you know them, you know? Do you know if they have aspirations or not? How do you create them? How do you empower your business? You know. Franklin Roosevelt has a great quote here. Do what you feel in your heart to be right. You'll be criticized anyway. Right. I mean, once you know it's right, it's the right thing for the business, it's the right thing for the people, it's the right thing for your customers, that will provide the courage to act in a way that those people who are ducking and hiding will, of course they'll criticize you. They'll criticize you. But if it's right, it'll be easier to access that opportunity than it was during a high-demand environment. And it'll always require courage. You know, because everybody else is living in a state of fear. Everybody else is afraid. So,
let's go back to the Henry Ford analogy again. So let's say there's a dealer, a car dealer,
mm-hmm.
and people just, they're not buying cars, they're not, or whatever the services or product anybody's offering, is just not doing it. And so the staff starts to go, they're twiddling their thumbs.
Mm-hmm.
What could a manager do? Can you address some of this earlier, Paul? I don't have any other ideas for how to address a team so the spirit of core doesn't go down, but also use the energy and the power of the people that are there to maybe tap into opportunities that everyone might be missing.
Okay. So the first thing is, leader, you got to notice that people are going slow or depressed or distracted. When you do that, you got to find that something for them to believe in. Right? Now, when I was working in the aluminum industry in the 70s, it was a big recession. And I was running an aluminum extrusion plant. And I continually said, we are not going to participate in a recession. Everybody else can, but we're not going to participate. And here's why, right? And I had three key reasons why we weren't going to participate. And whenever I saw somebody kind of getting into this negative mindset, either in a meeting or even out on the floor, I'd come back to, you know, the core mission of we're not participating in a recession. That's something we're going to take advantage of. And get people involved in how to take advantage of the recession. How do you, you know, prosper in a recession? I think when we were chatting, I just bought a brand new car at 60 months, no interest, right? No down payment. Well, I'm taking advantage of the recession. I needed a new car anyway. And, you know, that's benefiting me and my family. And every business has opportunities like this. And I think we talked earlier in these conferences about being really close to your customers and understanding their needs and wants and being a vehicle for them to achieve it. And every client you have has families to feed, wants to stay in business. How can you help them? When they see you as someone who is courageous, is committed to something different, to transcending the economic times, looking for those windows of opportunity, people start to follow you. They want to be around calm, committed people. And if your whole team's calm, committed, has a mission they believe in, understands your mission and helps you as a client achieve your mission, it's amazing. It's amazing what opportunities appear. Yeah. Martin Luther King on the next slide has a genuine leader is not a searcher for consensus, but a molder of consensus. And that ties right into what we were just talking about. You've got to find consensus. You've got to find what people want to be courageous about. You've got to find the secret sauce, if you will. You feel yourself running and hiding. I can remember the moment that my whole being changed. 25 years ago, I wanted to become a CEO coach in a company that did that, and I was interviewing, and I remember I was jogging around the Marine Stadium here in Long Beach and think, kind of losing energy and going, well, you know, they're never going to hire me. I've already interviewed for 5 people. I haven't had an offer. It just doesn't look like it's going to work. I'm just, I don't have to just give it up. And I went, no. Suddenly I just went, no. I am not giving up on this. And just shifted my whole being. And when I went in there that afternoon, they could see that. They could see, here was somebody who was not fearful. Here was somebody who will never give up, will never quit. Has the courage of their aspirations. And this job was the job I wanted. The dream job. Going from a turnaround guy to a CEO coach of Fortune 500 companies. In a company that wanted to make a difference in the world. And my visceral connection to that aspiration caused them to hire me. Even though I was not qualified. Quite frankly, they could feel that commitment, that persistence, that courage. They could feel it at a deep level. And they hired me because of that. And you can do the same with your customers. You can do the same if you're looking for a job. You can do the same if you're trying to inspire your employees. Your being, your courage, your presence is the most powerful thing that you can bring to any business situation. Business is all about trust. You don't trust fearful people. You don't trust people who are scared and running and hiding. You trust people who are committed to something bigger than themselves. And that's what you have to find as a leader. How do you do that? How do you create that in your company? I mean, business is tough. Always has been. You know? Peter Drucker, quote on slide 9, whenever you see a successful business, someone once made a courageous decision. Isn't that the truth? Whenever a business grows, someone makes a courageous decision. Whenever a business, you know, fails to fold, refuses to give up, someone has made a courageous decision. But you know for sure that if you're locked into fear, if you're fearful, your perception begins to narrow, your presence begins to fall apart, and you create a cycle of failure that can bring your whole business down and your life. And it feels awful anyway. So as the world is tumbling around you, you know, pick up a few bricks and build another building. Don't hide out.
That's interesting you bring that up, Paul. It reminds me of a client of ours. They were selling new office furniture, and during one of the many recessions the United States has gone through, they were down in the dumps. And somebody had an idea to call on companies to help, because there were a lot of layoffs going on in their area, and a lot of offices were, a lot of vacant space. So somebody said, oh, why don't we just call them up and see if we can help them somehow. They didn't know what that would go into because obviously they sold brand new office furniture and these people weren't going to buy it. Then, can we call and anything we can do to help? Well, some of the organizations said, well, actually you could. Could you disassemble and store this equipment for us and maybe even resell it? Or refurbish it for us later on and just keep it for another division or get rid of it somehow or another. That started a whole new business for them. So the other business went down into the dumps. But their other then all of a sudden it became disassembling, storage, maintaining, and also selling used furniture, which they never would have thought of, but the idea came, how can we help? That took a lot of courage. That goes back to that one quote I read in the beginning that somebody shared. Courage is to fan away the fear and find the inner strength or the rod to lean upon, then to share it. And that's what that organization did.
Yeah.
They shared it and fanned away the fear.
And the fear goes away very fast when that rod is a deep and abiding aspiration or belief you have about what works, what's right, what's good. It just blows away.
Yeah.
You know, that's no way to live. You know, I think Michael asked, one of the questions that came through was, how do we know that, you know, this country is not displaying courage? How do we know, what are the signs, you know, that I see that courage is on the wane? And, you know, I see both, you know, but there is this sense in society of, right now, of giving up, of doing the safe thing. We've been doing that for a long time. The high-demand environment kind of cultivates doing the safe thing. We've had a high-demand environment, right? And, you know, when you have to run your business, all you have to do is process all the orders. And the orders come in, and you get them out, and, you know, it's easy to succeed in a high-demand environment, relatively easy. And what happens is you don't have to take risks anymore. Everything's working. Everything's easy. And that's what we've had. You know, we've had some failures, but then real estate kind of picked the ball up, and we leveraged valuation on companies, valuation on homes. And that is kind of the easy way out, right? So you don't have enough money to buy a new car. So, oh, let me refinance my house. Okay. Oh, you want to take a nice vacation. Oh, let me refinance my house. And you could do it. Oh, my company's not making the kind of money I really can't afford to invest in the future. Let's leverage it. Let's reevaluate. Let's borrow more money. Let's have a bigger credit line. And under the context of increasing levels of credit, you know, that's easy. It's not courageous. And so what's happened in our world is because of the high demand, because how great our lives have been, how easy it is, the level of risk-taking has dropped dramatically. But now, if we don't build the courage, you know, to take those kinds of risks, people are going to run right past us. People who develop their courage, people who develop a way to take, you know, considered risks and have the habit of looking for new ways to run their business, they're going to run right by you. But that habit has been atrophied, if you will, over time because of the high demand that we've gone through in the last, you know, 20 years. And like every other ability, it takes practice. And if we haven't had a chance to practice courage, we haven't been taking business risks and personal risks, then we get into this sort of static state, waiting for things to change, waiting for things to get better. And there's really been a malaise in our society in that regard, hoping that things will get better, wanting the government to make things better, wanting our companies to make things better for us. You know, we've gotten into this malaise. And it's not going to get better unless someone has the courage to find a better way.
So you're talking about, Paul, not necessarily getting more in debt based on old concepts or ideas, but rather to let ideas flow and then invest as part of the expression of the idea to serve the market better, more efficiently, new or different products to market.
Yeah, exactly.
That, okay.
Yeah. But, you know, overall, you know, the answer is what signs do I have that the level of courage has waned in our company? I mean, it's just a habit that we've developed. These things are easy. So why take a risk? Why be courageous? Things work out. But that's not true anymore. And we're going to have to, as a nation, as a business, we're going to have to find better products, better ways to run our businesses. And we're going to have to do that with courage and daring. And those that do that are going to find opportunities. You know, they're going to find a rhythm in the madness, if you will. And those are the companies that will be successful over the next 5 years.
And attract new clients because of the new energy,
That's right. And, you know, it has to make sense. We're not saying be foolish, right?
Right.
But we are saying what happens is when you discover the right thing to do, it creates an aspiration. So you got to do your homework. You got to make sure this is the right thing.
How do you know if it's right? Versus the fear. Fear can make us think or veil that it's the right thing to do, but it's fear.
Right. So in both cases, you've got to do your research. You've got to do your homework. You've got to know your market. You've got to know your business. You've got to know the trends. So given we've done all that, right, exhausted the research, looked into the trends, connected with the customers, researched the market, given all that stuff, there's a feeling that comes from fear. It's a panicky, reactive feeling. You know, you've done the research and you're kind of going, okay, there's nothing else to do. You know, that I don't know. There's nothing else to do. Let's just do this. And there's a dissonant feeling that comes with a decision that comes from courage. Or not courage. It comes from fear. Courage, there's a clarity, there's a knowing. You've done your homework and now you know. You have this clear, crisp, inspired feeling. You can see how certain actions will unfold successfully in the future. You have a picture of the outcome begins to unfold in your mind. And you feel certain. Just
so that conversation could take place in the shower or in a group meeting or in more stillness and quietness, I take it.
Yeah, sometimes it starts in the shower or during a jog or walking along the beach or in the woods when you've got to tone down the fear in your mind. You've got to tone down the circling thoughts, the agitation, to leave room for insight. You know, if a glass is full of water, you can't put any more water in there. If your mind is full of fear, then it's hard to see an answer. And then when you meet with your team, you also need to, I always, with a team, say, you know, let's forget about everything that has worked in the past. And let's just put aside what our strategy is right now and take a look at the market and see if we can find something different. And I tell them, you know, we're not going to just abandon everything we're doing, but for now, we want to find something that's different, that's going to make this company grow, even though the economy is not growing.
And technical research may not be the answer at times. It could be a hunch that could be validated then by if it's going to fulfill the needs, then.
That's right. I mean, you do your research, and you get a hunch, and then you deepen your research around the hunch.
Gotcha.
And then you know. Right?
Okay.
And those hunches, if your mind is quiet, if your mind is full of fear, your fight or flight's involved in your consciousness, there's no room for those hunches. There's no room for that gut feeling. There's no room for those transformative ideas. Because your brain is full of fear, your perception is narrowing. Fear, fight, or flight are useless tools. Unless, you know, a saber-toothed tiger is about to eat you. Okay.
Paul, let's let's do this. In just a few minutes, we're going to conclude our show and turn off the recording equipment, and then we're going to open up the line so we can further this discussion, and everyone, we'll open the line up so everyone can talk to Paul and myself. Paul, let's go to the next slide. This is a very, this is a great discussion that we can go on for a little bit on. You'll see on the on your screen an area to register for our upcoming July 16th open line program, which is entitled Selling in Today's Environment. You'll want to have your sales and marketing department sign up for this because there's going to be some really great ideas that are easy to implement and just to continue, have the salespeople take that courage and to reach out maybe a little bit differently than they have been. So please sign up today and reserve a space for yourself and let us know if you'd like your staff or other colleagues to attend. In the next few days, you'll receive a recording and PowerPoint for today's program, and please feel free to share it with others in your organization or within an association that you may be a member of. Paul, and I want to thank you for your time today and for all the valuable ideas that you've shared. If you'd like to contact Paul to have further discussion on specifics about your industry, your team, or to have some one-to-one time together or discuss any of the ideas shared in today's show, you'll see Paul's contact information on your screen. The information shared today is a property of Lighthouse Consulting Services, LLC, located in Santa Monica, California. Our mission statement is to bring effective insight to your organization. If you'd like more information on our services, please write me at dana@lighthouseconsulting.com. If you have other topics you'd like us to address, please let us know. Thank you so much for joining us, and we're looking forward to having you join us for our next Keeping on Track Open Line program. Have a great day. Hold the line. I'm just going to stop the recording equipment, and we'll be right on and unmute. So 1 second, please.